Let's continue with Perek Yotes. Pasuk Aleph, beginning the next chapter, says as follows. Vayadaber Shaul el Yonasan beno. So Shaul spoke to Yonasan, his son. You're going to constantly see Yonasan, his son. Ve'el kol avadav. Not only did Shaul speak to Yonasan, but he spoke to all of his powerful servants, those his trusted servants. Lohamis as David. We have one plan. There's this guy, David, you know, the person who's been instrumental in helping us win all these wars? Let's have him killed. That's what he told them. Page 124. But Yonasan, the son of Shaul, loved David very much. So if you look, going back to the Masudas David, Lohamis says David, the very bottom of the page, on page 122, Barama. He said this in a quiet, tricking manner. Uvishkaga hayotzis miblidas shivadavar hamelch nasa. He wanted this to be done in a way that no one else would know that this was the king's desire. Now it's interesting that you'll notice that we constantly see that it says Yonasan here again, Yonasan ben Shaul, Yonasan the son of Shaul. So some perhaps explain that Yonasan was torn. He knew on one level he was the prince. He was the next in line to accept the throne. And he knew that David was the one who would be the only threat to him taking over that position. So on one hand, he was the son of a king. And he should show allegiance and show the respect due to a king and his father. But yet, chafetz b'David ma'od. He loved David as a friend so much. And therefore, he wasn't sure, should I be listening to my father and have him killed, or should I be warning David, my dear friend, so that he'll be able to protect himself? The Pasuk Bet answers that question. V'yagid Yonasan l'David l'emor. Yonasan could not keep quiet. He didn't allow, when he heard that there was a problem, the person could be quiet and say absolutely nothing, and let him die, and that's it. But he felt that would be his responsibility. If you know that there's something wrong, you have an obligation to speak up, to be able to protect and to be able to help another person. And that's what Yonasan did. That Yonasan spoke to David, Mevaki Shaul Avi Lamisefa. My father Shaul wants you to die. V'atah now he shamar na b'boker. Protect yourself, guard yourself in the morning. V'yashavta b'seser v'nach besa. And you shall dwell hiddenly and in a secret manner. And you're going to, next plus is going to say that tomorrow you're going to overhear our conversation, and you know that in fact this is what my father plots to do. He wants to have you killed. Now it's one of the things that we learn out from here. A lot of times you ask a person, what's your name? What's your father's name? What's your mother's name? And we're taught, it's disrespectful. You can't say your parents' name, right? It's not a respectful thing. But some actually learn from here, if you look at Pasuk Bet, that when Yonah's son was speaking, what did he say? Mevakesh, this is a quote, that Yonah's son said to David Lamor, quote, Mevakesh Shaul Avi Lahamisecha. So we see from here that he actually mentioned his father's name. So some actually learn that there's nothing wrong with actually saying your parents' first name, provided that's not done in their presence. That's how some explain that this is actually a raya, that you can actually say a person's parents' name just as long as it's not in their presence. In their presence, certainly you're not supposed to. That's disrespectful. Okay. That's one explanation.
I think it's a raya that it's said in a negative connotation, I mean, when it's for bad reasons.
That what? Then you are allowed to? Right. Oh, all right. In other words, this is for to protect him, to save his life. That could be an exception to the rule.
Is there a reason why Yehonah's son is sometimes with the hay and without the
hay? Yeah. Generally speaking, when we find that Yehonah's son attaches himself, in other words, it's a very strong question, because in Pasuk Bet, you see it with the hay. The very beginning of our parak, we find in the first pasuk, Yonah's son is written without the hay.
Maybe when Shaul refers to his son, he does it as Yonatan.
Right.
Maybe
Because who Hashem was attached and connected to David, not with Shaul. So anytime that Yonah's son, you have to see if this is true. But it would be great if this, certainly these two psukim apply. Whenever David is next to Yonah's son, so Yonah's son has a relationship with David, who is connected to Hashem, it's written with a yud and a hey, Yonah's son. But whenever Yonah's son is affiliated, associated with Shaul, who is disconnected from God, he's missing the hey from his name. You have to see if that rule applies straight across the board, but certainly that's a way to interpret it, at least in those two psukim. It sounds nice. Okay, that's one interpretation of Shaul Avi. Some explain that what could it also mean, that Shaul Avi, my father, wants to have you killed, is because David could look at a whole slew, a whole army of people that wants to kill him. And then he can just be, I'm devastated. There's no way I'm going to be able to defeat all these people. Yonason is saying it's absolutely not true. Everyone cares about you. Everyone loves you. Even all of his servants, all of his soldiers. It's only Mavakish Shaul Avi Lamisach. It's only my father. And if somehow you're able to get around that problem, everyone else is fine with you. So that's another way to interpret what he was saying. But Pasuk Gimel. I'm going to go out and I'm going to stand liad avi. Rashi says it's samuch avi, next to my father. Basada, where I'm going to be hanging out in the field. Asher atosham, that you'll be there. Vani adaber b'chol avi, I'll be speaking to my father. I'll be speaking to Shaul. Ba'isi ma v'igatiloch, and I will see what's going on, and I will say it over to you. So you're going to be able to be. I'm going to hear everything that he says. You're going to hear what I have to say to him. All the nice things or not nice things I say about you, David. And you'll be able to interpret. The Radak over here explains why a field. So the Radak says, "Uperish basada asher ata sham, the field which you are there, ki hayaragil lote sham sha'ol biyom osasad." Shaul always used to enjoy going for a nice little stroll in the park. That's what he used to do. He used to always, every morning, go for a little walk in the field. Therefore, Tziva Yonah's son as David, Shiichba Ba'osa HaSadik, therefore he told David to hide in that field, Kadesh Shiishma Adavarim HaTovim, so you should hear all the nice words, Shiadabrahu Avi Babur, all the nice things I'm going to say to my father about you. And the reason why a field? Why would he be in a field? So actually we learn this from Yaakov Avinu. That Yaakov Avinu, when he was in the house of Laban, and he wanted to leave the house of Laban, he called two very nice women by the name of Leah and Rachel into the field, and he discussed with them, should we leave? And they ended up leaving. So why was it dafka in a field? It was because of the expression, Oznayim Lakotel, that walls have ears. Walls have ears. And therefore, the greatest time you could ever speak about strategy is in a field. And that's perhaps the reason why the king, whenever he would be walking in a field, he would be speaking to different people and he would look at this open area, knowing that there was no one else listening. But in this particular situation, he said, I want you to hide in this field because this is a place where he says and speaks his mind. You'll really hear what he has to say. And if you have a place to hide, you'll be able to know exactly what is on his mind. Pass it down. B'yadabar Yehonasan b'David. There you go again. Yehonasan was speaking to David about David. B'David too. He was speaking goodness about David. El Shaul Avin. V'yomer Elav. And this is what Yehonasan said to his father. Al Yechata HaMelech. Do not sin, king, b'Avdo b'David, by your servant David. Ki lo chatalach. Because he did not do any sins to you. In fact, he did a lot of good things for you. Right? He did a lot of very positive things for you. So don't be sinful. And if we look at the Masudas David, Yechata, he says, Bemisas David, don't sin by killing him. It's not only that you should not sin, he did not sin to you, he didn't do anything wrong. He even did good things. Not only did he not do anything to warrant to be killed and do anything bad, but he even did good things. So you certainly have no right to really kill. V'yosemes nasho b'kapo v'yaches ha'plishti posik hei v'yas Hashem teshua gadol l'chol Yisrael. That he took his, put his own life on the line, and he smote and killed all the Philistines, and Hashem caused a tremendous salvation for the Jewish people. Ra'isa v'tismach, you saw what happened. You saw when this huge giant fell on the battlefield. How did you feel? What was your gut reaction when you saw Goliath smash into the ground? Tismach, you were so happy, my father. V'lama sechot avadam nafi, why would you sin by pouring innocent blood? Lahomis says David chinam, to kill David for absolutely no reason. So the question is, and then the pasuk continues, the v'yishma Shaul, that Shaul listen to this, to Yonasan's word. The question is, before we continue with the next pasuk, is why did Yonasan wait until this day? Why did Yonasan wait now for this opportunity to speak to his father? Wouldn't it have made more sense that when he initially heard his father speaking, plotting to kill David, he should have said no? He didn't say anything. Instead, he went to David. He said, come into the field, and the next day you'll hear my conversation. Why didn't he speak to his father immediately?
All his servants were there.
Ah, very good, exactly. Because that's the difference. The beginning of the Pasuk Aleph, very good, says, the El Kol Avadav, to speak in front of all the servants. Two problems. First of all, embarrass him. And also, that would maybe cause him to not want to listen to him, because I can't listen to my son. It shows a lack of respect for him to say such a thing. So this way, it's just the two of us. He'll be more willing to accept my words. Exactly, and that's exactly what happens in Pasuk Vav. Vayishma Shaul b'kol Yonasan. Shaul hears the voice of Yonasan, which means he accepts it. He didn't just hear it; it means he accepted his words. The Yishava Shaul, and Shaul made a shmu, he made an oath, he swore, Chai Hashem im Yomos, I swear by my life im Yomos, if he dies. I promise you, I will not kill him. We're going to end up seeing that he tries his very best, but interestingly enough, the Mefarshim say that, so he lied. He says, no, Shmuas Emes, it was really true.
He himself did not kill him, he let the others kill him.
That's what, right? And also says Shadavid lo Yomos. We find that David really could not be killed. Kiliat Slichu Hamisa, he was unsuccessful. So his shvua really was chal. It was true. He was unable to kill him, and that's what he said. I swear to you, if I'm able to kill him, and he was not able to kill him. So it's not that he broke his shvua, because it was impossible for him to do so. Even though we're going to see, he himself is going to try again before he sends other people to kill him directly. Okay, fine. Continue with Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Zayin tells us, V'yikra Yonasan lo David, again it's with the hey, Yonasan calls to David, V'yagid lo Yonasan, as called the Marmel, he tells David everything, V'yavi Yonasan as David, El Shaul, so Yonasan tells David, it's okay, my father promised he's not going to kill you. And, you know, a promise is a promise. And that's what he told David. And therefore, because of this, David went back, El Shaul v'hila fanav k'etmul shulshan. Things were just fine, just like it was yesterday and the day before. There he was, playing his harp, playing his musical instruments, having fun. But Tosev v'melcham liyos. Now, not only was he this beautiful musician, David was, playing his harp, but he also, as we know, was a tremendous soldier. The Tosan Lucham Yos, the war continued. The Eitzi David of Elohim beplished him. And David had to put away his harp and pick up his swords and his weaponry. And he fought the Philistines. V'yach v'hem maki gadola. Yanusim yiponav. Incredibly, he continued to defeat them. And they fled. They ran away from him. Pasuk Tes. V'atihi ruach Hashem ruach el Shaul. So Shaul, the king who would oversee that the Philistines were getting defeated and that the Jewish people were safe and strong, you would think, oh, I'm so happy. No. This got Shaul upset. The Ruach, Pati Ruach Hashem Ra El Shaul. It's translated over here, the spirit of melancholy fell upon Shaul, which is like a mental illness of some sort. It fell upon him. So now the war was over. So now he had to take his sword, and he put his sword away, and now he had to pick up his harp. He's in his house. Now what was in the king's hands? A chaniso, a spear. You know, what else is he supposed to do at this time? V'David menagin biyad. And David was playing with his harp in his hand, which is an interesting thing. They both had things in their hand. One of them had a harp, which represents a man of peace, even a warrior. But at this time, he was playing instruments. But when it came to Shaul, he was constantly angry. He always had weaponry in his hands, even in the time of peace. Some also explain, what does it mean? V'david menagin biyad. He was playing the harp with his hands. How else can you play that with your toes, right? How else can you play the harp, right? You have to play it probably with your hands. So some explain that when a person plays music, you can see the person who is a true musician plays from the heart. It's a very spiritual experience, right? Person who listens to music, it's a tremendously uplifting and spiritual experience. So David, when he used to play for someone, he played with all of his energy. It came from his heart. But David, who realized who this guy was, that Shaul was someone who really wants to kill me, and the only thing which is separating life and death and a spear which is going to kill me is a shvua, the fact that he swore. So he hates me. He doesn't want me to breathe, doesn't want me alive. So I am going to play for him because I am his servant. But it's only going to be David Menagin Biyad. I'm playing only with my hands, but I'm not really there. I'm disconnected to what I'm doing. I'm just doing it to fulfill my obligation, but that's really all it is. Now, here I am playing this harp, and this guy who wants to kill me, he has a gun basically pointed right at my head. Not too much fun playing this instrument. V'yavaki Shaul hakos b'chonis. Shaul wanted so badly to take that spear, just to throw it b'David, right at David, u'bakir, right at the wall. As we mentioned before, and it's brought down over here again in the Radak, that what that means is he wanted to throw the spear so hard, with so much violence, such anger, that it would not only pierce into and through David, but David would actually be stuck up against the wall. The spear would actually get stuck into the wall on the other side. That's what it means, Bakir, that he actually wanted to throw it that hard. V'yifdar mitnei Shaul, and when David saw this, that the spear was about to be thrown at him, the first time, which happened twice, he threw it twice at him, he didn't even realize, he was just playing away. Perhaps the difference, why was he playing away? Because he played with all of his emotion, with his spirit. Maybe he had his eyes closed, he was really getting into the music, rocking and stuff. But and therefore the spirits could be, you know, coming, zooming by his head. Over here it was just beyond. So he knew exactly what was going on, and he knew this guy wants to kill me. V'yifdar mibnei David, mibnei Shaul. Because of this, he ran away. V'yifdar. He became exempt. He ran away from Shaul. V'yachas achanis bekir. And sure enough, that spear did fly. But luckily, it didn't hit David. If he stayed there, it would have killed him. Instead, it smashed into the wall. But David nas, and David flew, ran away. V'yamalid halaylahu. And he ran away and fled on that particular night. So we look at the Radak. The Radak tells us over here in Pasuk Yud. V'yiftar, what does he mean? He was putter. Nistalik milfanam, which means he went away from him. Vanishmar mehachanis vehikabakir. And by doing so, he was protected from the spear that got stuck into the wall. That's what it means, patur. He left himself. Says the Kli Yakar, which is not here. The Kli Yakar explains the word v'yifter comes from the word patur. Sometimes, am I obligated to do it? Am I chayiv? Or am I potter? Do I have to do it? Or am I not obligated to it? Am I potter? Says the Kli Yakar, she potter medin mored b'malchus. The question is, am I really supposed to be killed? Did I do something which deserves to be killed? Because if I rebelled against the king, if I was mored b'malchus, it's a capital offense. So the word v'yifdar means he was potter medin mored b'malchus. He really did not deserve to die. He did nothing wrong to deserve this punishment. And therefore, because of this, he had the right to be able to run away from Shaul. If we see the Mesudas David over here in Pasuk Yud, Belailahu, when he says he ran that night, he didn't run away. But what did he do? Lo nas miyan bebeis hamelch. He didn't just completely run away. Rachazel beis. He ran away from the palace and he went back to his home with his wife with Michal. Venas mishem b'lailo kodem babok. We're going to see in a few moments that he ran away and he was able to escape before the morning. Okay, we're just going to see the next couple of psukim and we'll stop. Viyavakesh could also mean he requested, he desired. That's another interpretation of what, another way to read the word viyavakesh. Yes?
If he decided that he had not rebelled against God, so he was entitled to run away from Shaul, why wouldn't he think that if someone's trying to kill him, that perhaps he should kill Shaul?
Good question. We are going to, see that in Pasuk Yud Zayin. That'll be next week. But that's a very good question. Okay, we're going to just see one or two more psukim, then we'll be forced to stop. Even though we could do this all day. All right, let's see Pasuk Yud Aleph. So now, Vayishlach Shaul Malachim El Beis David, that Shaul sent messengers into the house of David L'shamer to guard the house. Lahamiso baboker, to kill him in the morning. And now David didn't necessarily realize this, because David was at home, he was petrified, and he thought, okay, he did this before, he wants to kill me, but he did swear, so he got angry, threw a spear, and all right, I'm going to just go back home. I'm going to call it a day. Maybe tomorrow he'll be in a better mood. V'tagid l'David Michal ishto lemor. And it was told to David by Michal, his wife, Im einecha memalet es nafshecha halayla, if you do not run away tonight, machar atam umas, tomorrow you are going to die. And therefore we see, exactly as we mentioned before, that Michal not only was there, was not going to be lamokesh, a snare, to be someone who would cause David to fall, but she ultimately protected him, that without her, he would have died. And it's brought down, and we conclude with this, that in Tehillim, we know that if we study Sefer Tehillim, each paragraph corresponds to different episodes in David's life. And if you look at Kapitel Nun Tes, or Psalm 59, which I don't have the English over here, but just a couple of lines, the paragraph of Lamatzeach al Tashkes of David Michtam Bishloach Shaul Vishamarez Habayis Lahamisa. That's the first pasuk in Kapitel Nun Tet, which the meat of the sentence is Vishamru es Beso, that I was protected in my home Lahamisa from being killed. Hatzileni Mioivai Hashem, protect me Hashem from my enemies. And this whole paragraph, as it's brought down by the Meiri, explains that this paragraph, Kapitel Nun Tes, corresponds to this episode. That the evening that he was locked in his home, knowing that the next day he was going to die, David HaMelech put this into song, into Tehillim. But that, nonetheless, we see, and we're going to see, that David will now utilize this as an opportunity to escape. And by doing so, we're now going to eventually see what happens to his wife, who seems to have helped him, which itself also seems to be a capital offense. Maybe she'll be killed because of this, and what the king will do in reaction to be able to stop him and to try to get him back.